Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Yo!
Opening night in the NBA, the Lakers fall to the Warriors by 7, 121-114. Milwaukee, defending champs, race by Brooklyn, 127-104. Of course, the Nets playing without Kyrie Irving. Joining us now on the hotline to break it all down. Very excited to begin this 8-month run of at least once a week talking NBA with this guy. He's on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, the aforementioned Rick Bucher, who now is in a tough spot because he went on and on how much he loved Russell Westbrook to the Lakers and how much it was going to work and they were going to win the championship. And now after night one is a little bit difficult. What's happening, Rick?
Did you have a body double that stepped in for me and hit a few spots since the last time we spoke? Because I don't recall going that direction with Russell Westbrook and the Lakers. But,
we've talked about this and Westbrook coming to the Lakers, and you've laid out many reasons why, look, you didn't like how this is going to work. And I get that it's going to be a work in progress, and I get that. And I get the first, 15 games aren't going to be great. But watching the game tonight and watching Russell Westbrook stand on the wing waiting for the basketball, that's not using Russell Westbrook the way that you did Russell Westbrook. That was the most shocking part of tonight to me.
Yeah, I think what's difficult is you either have to play through Russ or you're not going to get the best out of Russ. And the problem with that is that means LeBron has to play through Russ. And LeBron is used to playing a LeBron-centric game. And then you've got everybody who has to get acclimated to the way Russ plays. And Russ plays very fast. In the last few years, he's played rather erratically. And so that would make the runway even longer. This is the problem. Is I just don't know that you can go that direction. And if you don't, you're not going to get the best out of Russell Westbrook. But we can talk about the offense all we want. And I do believe that it will get better. But when you give up 121 points to the Golden State Warriors, Steph Curry goes 5 for 21. And it's a one-possession game going into the final 6-7 minutes of the fourth quarter, and you're the veteran team with all the go-to shooters, and you can't get it done because essentially you can't stop the Warriors. That, to me, is the problem they have that I don't see an easy solution to, that I don't see time is going to solve. I just don't see the defenders out there. No matter how good Anthony Davis is, he can't clean up all that he's going to have to clean up with the guys that they have on the perimeter. And I think, to me, that's my number one issue with the expectations for the Lakers. Do they have offensive firepower? No question. Will they find a way to get more out of Ross and more out of Carmelo? Sure. But I see how going to stop anybody unless they play at a slower pace. And if they play at a slower pace, then I don't know how you're going to get the best out of Russ Westbrook. So it's a conundrum. But I just, seeing the pieces out there in the final, 4 or 5 minutes of the game, and I'm watching them and I'm thinking, okay, it's not flowing now, but how would it flow? Like, how would you get everybody involved? You got four guys out there that are used to either having the ball in their hands or being the go-to guy. And you can have an embarrassment of riches. And I feel as if that's what they have. They have too many guys who are used to being the guy. And in closing a game, it has to be better defined in terms of who's your go-to guy, what are the other guys going to do to try to create a shot for that guy, and where are they going to be if he gets double-teamed or shut down. And that is a Rubik's Cube that Frank Vogel has to figure out. But I'm going to go back to the same thing. Defensively is where I see the greatest issues with the Lakers, and I don't know how they're going to resolve them.
Well, especially when Steph Curry doles out his first triple-double in 5 years. I mean, come on.
I know. I heard that advertised. He got his first triple-double since 2016, and I'm thinking, yeah, and he had maybe his worst shooting night since I don't know when. So, and that's the other thing on the other side of the equation. Like, everybody is used to the run that Steph went on last year, and everybody's assuming, well, Steph's going to do that again, and you're going to add Jordan Poole, and eventually you're going to get Klay Thompson back, and you're going to have James Moody and Jonathan Kuminga and all that. And it's like, okay, but what if Steph can't replicate the crazy season that he had last year because it was so crazy? I don't put it past him that he could, but I also don't think it's a guarantee that he can be as just the degree of difficulty shots that he was making on a regular basis last year. I mean, that is not easy. And it's not as if they were doubling him and tripling him and giving him a ton of attention tonight. He was in one-on-one situations. He was being pressured, and he was having to take high degree of difficulty shots, and they were not going down.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Rick Bucher, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, so with the Lakers losing like this, they fall to 0-1, clearly a work in progress. The Bucks win, to nobody's surprise. The defending champs beat the Nets 127-104. What did you see out of the Nets tonight? Because, look, KD had a nice night, but Harden had 20, and they were never really in this game. I like to think the Nets are going to be okay when they figure it out without the Kyrie situation hanging over them, but can you really get past the Kyrie situation hanging over them with what's going on right now?
I believe that they can. I have a greater belief that they can find a rhythm and make those pieces work. I mean, let's face it. They were playing the defending champs who are their stars are in their prime. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to be a problem because he picked up right where he left off in the finals. And no doubt, playing at home, hearing all about the Nets being the favorites, they had the advantage of having far more motivation in this game than the Nets did. I don't think the Nets played that badly. I think they just played against a better, more motivated team. Clearly, in hustle points, in terms of just effort, Milwaukee won that battle. But what really impressed me, and what I don't know that anybody has an answer for, I mean, the Nets at one point were like experimenting, let's have James Harden guard him because we know that Claxton and none of the other usual suspects can. We might as well let's just throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. And Giannis's patience and awareness and just confidence, I was completely impressed with that he picked up right where he left off, and I don't expect there to be any drop off there. And they did all this, keep in mind, they did all this with Drew Holiday going out fairly early and having to play George Hill for a good stretch and not having Bobby Portis, not having Dante DiVincenzo back yet. I'm rather not focused on the Nets because I think they'll just be fine. But the Milwaukee Bucks let everybody know, hey, we're defending champions for a reason, and we have a chance of being even better than we were last year.
All right, I need you to clear something up. Conflicting reports. Did he take his ball and go home, or didn't he? Ben Simmons kicked out of practice. Big, no. Untenable situation. Now that we're into the regular season, just went off the charts for Doc Rivers and company.
Yeah, if you wanted to do a primer on how not to get traded, I think Ben Simmons is writing the book before our very eyes. I mean, if you look at other guys who have demanded trades and wanted to go someplace, I mean, James Harden did it, Russell Westbrook did it, Anthony Davis did it, and they managed to get it done in part because Harden still showed up. I mean, Harden let them know during the summer last year that I don't want to be here. And they didn't get it done before the season started, and he came out and had, what, 44 and 17 in the season opener, and it was like he let the world know, hey, this is what you could get if you make a deal for James Harden. And the Brooklyn Nets stepped up, and oddly enough, the Philadelphia 76ers had a hand in raising the stakes and for Houston to get the, because there were rumors that Daryl Morey wanted to reunite with Harden and that they might be willing to throw something big out there. Ben Simmons not showing up for training camp and then showing up and not wanting to participate, that doesn't exactly get everybody excited about making a deal for Ben Simmons, particularly the kind of deal that Daryl Morey is looking for to justify moving a guy who was first team all defense the last 2 years. So it's only created more of an issue in terms of Daryl getting what he feels he needs to get and Ben Simmons going someplace else. And I just don't know how this is going to be resolved very quickly. I believe that what Philadelphia is going to try to do is they're hoping, can we weather this for 15, 20 games, and will there be a team maybe like the Lakers or some other team that considers itself has a shot at winning a title this year since it's wide open? Will they suddenly panic and say, you know what, we need to change something up. Let's go ahead and make a Ben Simmons trade. That to me is the only avenue to Philadelphia getting anything close to what they want. And it's going to be a game of chicken, because at some point Philadelphia's got to decide, you know, maybe we just addition by subtraction. We move him and we get the most that we can and just keep this going, because it can't be a good feeling to have Ben around and clearly be part of the team. It was such a bad look in practice, and that's not the vibe that you want to start with if you are seeking a championship run.
He's on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1 NBA analyst. Check out the On the Ball with Rick Bucher podcast as well. Again, on Twitter, at Rick Bucher. Rick, welcome back. Excited to start the season with you, and we'll talk Knicks next time.
Sounds good. By the way, guys, check out, I'm writing for the app now, the Fox Sports app.
There we
nice.
Go.
My piece. Nice. Is your first piece on the Knicks 72 win season coming up?
That is coming up next. That's, we got to work on that one. That's
okay.
Going to take a little polishing. Yeah.
All right. Check Rick Bucher out on the app as well. Rick, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Ben Simmons, yo.
See you, buddy. Hey, we always have to have one story that threads through. Here's the chaos in Philly.
Oh, my goodness, Ben Simmons. I hate to say I told you so, but I solved a month ago, and it didn't happen.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Brilliant!
A big night in sports, and well, a big night on the show with Nikki Six in the interview, if you missed any of it. The interview is going to be posted on the Best Of coming up in about 10 minutes. Go to iTunes, use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you can get it. Nikki was just phenomenal. Some never-before-told stories, has a new book coming out. It was really, really something. But it was also a big night in the NBA. Opening night was a big night in the baseball playoffs. So let's go rapid fire through big thoughts from all the big stories tonight. We kick things off with the Lakers losing to the Warriors. Mike Harmon, I'm not going to pour water on the Lakers. Look, it's not all doom and gloom. But boy, they need to use Russell Westbrook more, and they need to run the offense through him, because this is why you got him. And to watch him tonight sit on the wing and try to wait for the ball, that helps nobody. And yes, LeBron's going to get his points, Nadie's going to get his points, but Russell Westbrook will be useless. You got him to be Russell Westbrook, let him be Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things off it. Number one, to your point, we normally don't get all excited about the NBA. You know, we cover it every night, but, you know, the collective fan base and national TV audience, this is all a warm-up till Christmas Day is generally how it's perceived every year. Likewise, the Lakers didn't exactly run full tilt during the preseason, right? Hey, this is the first time these guys have played together. And yes, this is essentially the first time these guys have played together. So plenty of time to evolve. And it's really a Russell Westbrook and LeBron James, as we talked about with Rick Bucher earlier in the hour, the idea that they've got to figure out, you know, distribution and who's controlling the ball because they're just so used to those roles. It's going to take some time.
As far as the Nets go, I don't know how anybody picks the Nets for anything. Yes, they lose tonight to the Bucks. The Bucks are a championship team. As Rick Bucher told us, they picked up where they left off. I don't know how you can pick the Nets for anything. You know, as I said, I think they'll figure it out with KD and Harden. But when you have the specter of Kyrie Irving hanging over the team and people are picking them because they think I'm back, you deserve whatever happens, because if you think you know what Kyrie Irving's going to do, you deserve whatever prediction final thing happens to you. I can't believe anybody's picking the Nets for anything. I can't pick them at all.
I would love to go back and find out from the GMs when they were asked, right? It was 72% were on board with the Nets to cut down the net. With the idea, did they include Irving or did they move beyond that and just say, all right, they'll get through because of the East, even if they're playing without him? Because I think that would be an interesting data point to discern. But to that point, the East isn't exactly robust. Hell, one of your top contenders had a guy take his ball and go home. Or leaving on the floor and go home. So
Ben Simmons.
You know, potential chaos. If those two guys stay healthy, and Durant and Harden, they'll be just fine.
The Dodgers with an incredible lightning strike of a win. Cody Bellinger with a three-run homer. He's been awful all season, but now he's got three big postseason hits, none bigger than the one today. How can you not be romantic about baseball? The Dodgers trail 2-1, but as play-by-play man Charlie Steiner, AM570 LA Sports, our flagship station here in LA, said, it feels like the Dodgers are up in the series 1-2 following the win today. Do you feel that way? You feel like the Dodgers are back in and they have control of the series?
They're back in. Control only happens if Julio Urias goes 6 or 7 innings tomorrow. Then perhaps we can chat on that regard. But yeah, it was huge, that 8th inning, and obviously Bellinger once again coming up with a huge hit.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about the Dodgers tomorrow. Look, I always talk about momentum being as good as the next day's starter, and Urias over whoever the Braves wind up coming out with, because they're still kind of figuring it out. Maybe Smiley, maybe who knows. So, yeah, I feel good about the Dodgers tomorrow in a game right after to tie this thing up at 2 games apiece.
Well, we got day baseball once again, and then the nightcap, and, well, we'll have it all here on Fox Sports Radio.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. Coming up next, my buddy Ben Maller, who will be very happy to talk about Cody Bellinger and Mookie Betts. That's next on Fox. Dodgers, yo.